At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to a brand new episode here, Gamertag Radio. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me is the one and only Paris Lilly. What's up, Paris?
What's up, Danny?
Man, big, busy month with games, man. Lots of stuff that we've been playing. The only game we could talk about now, well, actually, no, two games that we could talk about. Can we talk about all three, like the ones that we've been playing lately? I think we can.
Two. I know we can, too. I can't. The third one, I'm not sure.
I'm trying to remember.
So
The Outer Worlds.
Everybody know we already played The Outer Worlds, yeah. 2, because we went to Obsidian. Mm-hmm. But yeah, The Outer Worlds 2, that review is out on the 23rd of October.
Yes.
And then Keeper, which will be out on October 17th.
Actually, there's one more I'm checking.
Mystery third one.
There's one more that I think we can say by the time this. What's today's date? The 14th?
14th.
Actually, yeah, we can say it because it.
What time?
4 p.m. today. Actually, we could talk about it.
Oh, so today you can say. Yeah. Okay. So Ninja Gaiden 4. Okay.
Ninja Gaiden 4.
Yeah.
I'm playing that too. Woo, look, all right.
That's all these embargoes. Like, matter of fact, because I slightly effed up. So, like, even Keeper, when I originally said, oh, I'm playing Keeper, if you read the social media thing, it said, don't post the title screen. And I posted the title screen, so I had to take it off.
Nobody saw it?
Because The Outer World said you could. So it was like, yeah. I was like, oh my God, it's too much all at once.
It's a lot. It's very confusing when it's a lot. It reminds me of when we were trying to figure out when we got Xbox Series X, the console, over a month ago, that was very confusing to me. But Paris, I know this is a very special episode, GTR, because you have something that we're going to be reviewing for this episode, right?
So if you're watching or listening to this, I've had the Asus ROG Xbox Ally X for the past 2 weeks. And this is our official review. Honestly, I feel like this is more of a discussion. And for people that are watching, I have it here. So I'm holding it up now. Might as well just power it on while we're talking. But I've struggled on how to talk about this, how to review it, right? Because I'm like, do I just film a bunch of B-roll? And if you're watching this, I'm going to integrate in some B-roll, on the YouTube video and stuff like that. But I told you last week, I was like, I'd rather let's have a conversation about it and you could just ask me a bunch of questions.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think as a handheld, we kind of already know what this is, right? But the big thing about this is the integration with Xbox. Look, I did the thumbprint, so it just logs in when I touch it. But it's more about, what does this mean for Xbox and what does this mean for Windows as a handheld moving forward? Right. Because obviously Asus has already done, you know, the Ally, because like if you look even behind me now, I have the old original Ally. The Ally X is out. Lenovo obviously does a Windows variant. MSI does a Windows variant as well. But this is the collaboration between Xbox and Asus to create this Xbox Ally X. And this is the Xbox full screen experience that you're looking at right now. So when I start up the Xbox Ally X, it boots directly into the Xbox full screen experience, and I'm able to launch games from there, which, you know, we've obviously done that through the preview, and, you know, I got hands on at Gamescom, all those things. But this was the first time I've had 2 weeks where I didn't have someone standing over my shoulder.
And you didn't drop it. And you didn't drop it.
Yeah, and I didn't drop it. Maybe I did drop it. No, I didn't drop it. But I didn't have, this was unsupervised. I didn't have anybody standing over my shoulder, and I got extended time. I got to essentially do whatever I wanted with the device over the past 2 weeks. I played a variety of games, you know, across the gambit. And as I'm sure a lot of you would expect, the first game I played on here was Cyberpunk 2077 via Steam. My dog's going to bark, because of course my dog's going to bark when I'm recording. But, you know, played Hades 2, you know, I've been playing Cocoon, I've been playing Silk Song, played Wheel World on here, may or may not have been playing The Outer Worlds 2 on here as well, right? Just a variety of games. And obviously, like I said, I'll open it up to you, ask me a bunch of questions about this stuff. But I think the most important thing, well, there's a few things that people want to know. Obviously, is it worth the $999? To buy this out the gate, right? If I already have a handheld, is this worth, quote unquote, upgrading to, right? And then ultimately, which I think is the big conversation here, has Xbox, has Windows and Asus curated the experience for this Xbox app so that it's truly a, I press the power button, I jump in, and I'm playing the game without any hiccups, things like that. So Let's start there. Let's start with the Windows experience about using the Xbox Ally. It's such a mouthful to say all this thing, right? Like I said, it boots directly into the Xbox full screen experience. When I originally got this, when I unboxed it, I had to go pick it up in an unspecified location. I sat down, and because we had pre-release software, it legitimately took about 2 hours to update this thing from what shipped from the factory. Because not only did I have to update Windows, Asus's Armory Crate also required a bunch of updates or a lot of driver updates, things like that. So not even joking when I said it probably took about a good 2 hours to get everything finally updated. And then I was able to go home and play it. And like I said, the very first thing I did was I made sure that Steam was installed. I installed the Epic Store. I installed GOG. I installed NVIDIA GeForce Now, which actually has a shortcut within the Xbox. When you press the Xbox button on the Ally X, it brings up the compact mode, the shortcut screen. You will actually see the GeForce app right there along with Steam and Epic and the other apps. And you're able to launch GeForce Now directly from there. So that was a cool little perk. Discord, you could not do it. This may change, which will be a common theme here, once we get to launch and, you know, some final day one updates come out. But Discord, I can install Discord. I had to go to the desktop to install Discord. Works, all that, but you don't have a shortcut to launch it from when you're in the Xbox app. So that was a little disappointing. But when I reached out to Xbox about that, that's how it currently is. But again, they're working on that. So eventually you will have that functionality. But like I said, got Steam installed, all that, logged in, downloaded Cyberpunk 2077 on there, launched it via the Xbox app, which people have already been able to see if you're an Xbox Insider, you know, on the desktop already. Very similar experience to that, right? Launches, goes into playing Cyberpunk. Now, the biggest question why I wanted to use Cyberpunk 2077 first, and there goes my dog barking. I'm going to power right on through it. Yep. But the reason I wanted Cyberpunk 2077 first, because I feel like this was going to be a great reference for the actual power of the hardware, like what kind of frame rate am I getting, all that. Again, let's run through the specs really quick of the hardware. So this is a 7-inch 1080p IPS screen with the Xbox Ally X. It has 24 gigabytes of RAM, a 1 terabyte SSD drive in it, and the APU, GPU, whatever you want to call it, CPU, all, I think it's APU is what you want to call it, all bundled together. This is an AMD Z2 Extreme AI processor. So it does have an NPU chip for AI processing in this as well. right? So I was very curious, like, how is this thing going to perform? What kind of frame rates am I going to see with Cyberpunk 2077? Now, by default, when you install it, it by default pulls up the ray tracing low spec in the settings for the graphic settings, right? I was getting high to low 40 frames per second playing with low ray tracing enabled, right? Totally playable. Obviously, the Switch 2, you can play Cyberpunk on there at 40 frames per second. I was like, okay, great. There is a Steam Deck preset that you can go to as well. Oh, and when you go into the Armory Crate, there's the TDP power settings, right? This is setting it to turbo. You have turbo, you have performance, you have silent. So at turbo settings, so it's getting the maximum wattage that you can coming out of this APU, I was able to, again, at low ray tracing settings, about, let's just say on average, about 40 frames per second. Now, if I set it to the Steam Deck preset, I'm getting well above 60. I mean, I'm in the 70s and 80 frames per second, depending on what type of scenario I'm in the game. Obviously, ray tracing is off at this point, but it looks really good. Lighting looks fantastic. Plays great on the 7-inch 1080p screen. So pretty happy with that. I'm like, it's playing great. I love that. I love that. I don't need ray tracing on the smaller screen. It looks fantastic to me. So that is a huge bonus for this. Definitely that Z2 Extreme processor is doing the work. At turbo processing, no or wattage, I should say, no problem. Now here's the bad.
Uh-oh.
The battery does not hold up. I mean, I am lucky to get 2 hours.
Oh.
Playing Cyberpunk 2077 at turbo. Turbo wattage. At this is 25 watts and it'll scale up to like 35 watts while you're playing. At that performance level, right? So the battery, unfortunately, not that great in a high AAA game. Now, other games I played. Play Bellatro. Obviously, very, very simple game. Easy to play. You could play that on silent mode. 1080p, 60, no problem. Battery, I think, God, I think I played Bellatro with that battery like over 5 hours. Great, no problem. Hades 2 actually performed very well at the performance wattage, setting as well. Mm-hmm. Want to say good 4 hours or so. I was playing Hades 2 and didn't see any kind of crazy battery drop. Cocoon obviously is another low impact game. Forza Horizon 5, unfortunately, very similar to Cyberpunk 2077 in that it is a huge drain on the battery. Looks great. Plays at 60. Love it. It was fantastic. No problems at that. But there is definitely a battery sink having it at the turbo performance mode in for wattage in Armory Crate, unfortunately. So that was a little bit of a bummer in that. Now, I talked about installing Steam games, stuff like that. Install Control via the Epic Store. Was able to launch that just fine. I did The Witcher 3 via GOG. Played that just fine. I did not do anything Ubisoft Connect. I will admit that. I didn't play anything via that. Everything else I played came directly from the Xbox Store. Played it that way. Again, very similar experience with the Xbox app. Launches, no problem. Easy peasy. Navigating with that Xbox button has become pretty intuitive to me. Again, one press brings me into that compact mode, the shortcut screen. I can navigate between the window settings, the Armory Crate settings, all that just by that. There is a dedicated Armory Crate button as well. It gives you a shortcut into Armory Crate settings. That is also on the left-hand side. Press that, boom, you're in, no problem. If you long press the Xbox button, that brings up, like, let's say I had launched Cyberpunk in Steam, but I went back to the Xbox app. If I long press the Xbox app, I can now scroll over to Steam and close Steam. Or if I have some other app or process open, I can close it. It's a quick way to just close an app. I can also do that to flip to desktop mode if I so choose. You can press that button again. It then gives you the option to go back into the Xbox app. It will prompt you, though, to say, hey, desktop is going to stay open because remember, it removes resources, gives you back 2 gigs of RAM when you're only in the Xbox full screen experience. So we'll give you the option. Hey, I will have desktop mode still running in the background, or you can restart everything and it'll close the desktop and all that. So it gives you that option, gives you that prompt. I think that's great as well. Again, other little tweaks you can do. Like, you can see my lighting on here. I have like the purple lighting on the Joy-Cons. You could turn this completely off. You can have rainbow flight. Like, you, there's a whole bunch of different things you can do with this. Again, anyone that's already had an Asus Ally, very similar experience with Armory Crate. Now, like I said, this launches default into the Xbox full screen experience. This is Windows 11. You can do what you want. If you want to change it and you want it to default to launch in Steam Big Picture mode, you can do that. If you want it to launch to the desktop, you can do that. This is just out of the box how it's going to work. Because again, the main reason you want to use it, obviously, is to play games. And this is a quote unquote Xbox themed device. Is this Asus, ROG Xbox Ally X? My God, it's such a mouthful to say. But overall, I like it. I really do. This is still not 100% ready from a Windows standpoint. They definitely still have a lot of work to do. Like, as an example, they don't have the handheld compatibility badges ready yet. As of me playing, I even reached out to Xbox asking about that, and they said they would still get back to me on that. So that's not ready. I've noticed sometimes launching a game in Steam or whatever, it doesn't necessarily, I would say most of the time it launches just fine, but every now and again, it doesn't launch correctly. And then I have to go in, I have to restart it. A couple times I had to flip it to desktop to close. And then I go back, or I just fully restart the device and it works. So there's still a little few quirks in there. The question I asked, even when I picked it up, because I had an Xbox engineer there, updates. Like I said, I had to go into settings, go to Windows Update to install Windows Update. So I was asking about that. How is that going to work if I never want to go to the desktop or do that? Is it going to automatically do updates, driver updates, things like that? He said, yeah, it would, but it doesn't seem like in this pre-release it's doing it automatically. So I still had to manually go in there and do that. So again, there's still work they're going to have to do on the Windows side of it that isn't 100% there. But I knew that. I knew that going in, that I go, this is not going to be perfect day one. There's a lot of the AI tools and things that they're still going to implement. Matter of fact, I'm just pulling it up now so I can talk about it really quick. Because like right now, you're able to do at launch, like the Copilot beta is there, and you're able to do the advanced shader delivery. All that is being powered by, you know, by the AI, the NPU chip that's in there with that Z2 Extreme. What will be coming is automatic super resolution. They're going to do highlight reels, game save syncs, where it's I just want to read this correctly. So it says game save sync indicator. So it's letting you know that it's syncing the saves, and then improve save reliability in low power mode, better library management on the micro SD cards. And this is an important one because I experienced this firsthand in this sense. I have a 1 terabyte micro SD that was in my Steam Deck. So I was like, oh, I'm going to take it out. I'll format it. I'm going to put it into the Ally X. I did it. It sees it. But for some reason, it was not showing up as a usable drive that I can install games on. So I reached out to Xbox about that. They gave me a couple suggestions. As of us recording right now, I've still not tried their fixes. So I do want to say that up front. So they made a couple suggestions. We'll see what it's like day one, because there may be some updates that come for that. But because it was the only micro SD card I had handy, so it's not like I had another one or whatever to try it out with. But this was the one that I had in my Steam Deck. Ironically enough, I put it back in the Steam Deck. Steam Deck immediately saw it, reformatted it. Boom, no problem. So ultimately, what does all this come down to? It plays games great. This thing played, like I said, playing Hades 2 on it, playing Cyberpunk on it, you know, Balatro, you know, Silk Song, other things on it have played just fine on this thing. That is not a complaint. As a handheld playing games, it's great. Once you're in the experience, no problem. Like I said, the Windows thing, still a little wonky. There's still some tweaks. There's still some updates. There's still some features that are going to need to add into this to truly make it that one button experience. And I'm playing my games. I love the fact that Xbox, the Xbox app is able to integrate other digital stores, and I'm able to launch those games from there, because in the Xbox app, you can go to your full library, say games that are installed. It will show you all your Xbox games. It'll show you all your Steam games, Epic Games, GOG, on down the line. So with all that said, I still prefer the Steam Deck. And it's not a performance thing. The Ally X clearly outperforms the Steam Deck. It's a usability standpoint. The Steam Deck UI and Steam OS is still, I press that button, I'm in Steam, my games are there, I play them, I'm good. I never have to leave that experience to play my games. The only thing that Windows has an advantage over Steam is obviously the anti-cheat stuff, right? And the fact that I am able to have multiple digital stores. Steam, like, I can make this a Steam Deck if I so choose. It's up to me. I could say, boom, launch into Steam and it's going to do exactly what the Steam Deck does. But it's some of the quirky stuff that Windows still needs to do, with some of the refinements they still need to do with the Xbox app that aren't going to necessarily be there day one. So I do think that is something people need to realize. As a gaming handheld, great, no problem. A UI usability standpoint, it's good, but it's not great. There's still stuff that they have to fix on that, in my personal opinion. Now the price. Here's what I'll say. And I did not get the Xbox Ally, the white one. So I cannot compare like functionality, playing games on here, stuff like that. Obviously, that is also a 1080p screen, but it recommends you play at 720p, which on this one, look, you could drop down to 720p on this. And you're going to get better performance because obviously it's a better chip. So it's up to the individual how they want to handle that, what TDP settings they want to have, you know, in the performance monitor, all those things. But anyways, back to the price. At $999, it is hard for me to tell someone that already has a Steam Deck, that has a Switch 2, that might have the original Ally X, to go run out and buy this thing. I don't know if being on a 7-inch screen, yes, the performance of frame per second is going to be better on this, but is it that much better that you're having this truly noticeable experience that is worth you spending $1,000 on this? I can only tell you what I would do. I would not. That's just my own personal, that's a lot of money. There's a lot going on in the world. It is hard. It would be hard for me to say if I already had a capable handheld, which I do with a Steam Deck. I have the original Ally, to go, yep, I need to go get that one. Because again, we didn't even talk about the ergonomics of this. Yes, the ergonomics of this is fan-effing-tastic. I love it. It does feel very natural in your hands, almost like an Xbox controller playing games. No issues on that. It is way more comfortable using this. Is it $1,000 more comfortable? Honestly, not for me. It's not. And this is a great piece of tech. Do not get me wrong. It is just a very expensive piece of tech. If you don't have any kind of gaming handheld at all, and this is going to be your first one, I can see you wanting to go out and spend that. This is going to be top of the line from a performance standpoint, from a ergonomic standpoint, 100%. The Windows software, like I've said already, is not perfect. It's good enough, and it will continue to get better because they've talked about that, and they knew that coming in this, that they will continue to iterate on this and work on it. I just think it is a lot of money for this right now, excuse me, for what you're getting on day one. Maybe a few months from now, we'll see as Windows improves on this. You know, we'll see. But it is a lot. And to each their own. The people that can afford it, they're going to run out and go get it.
Yeah.
For people that you're kind of on the fence, I'm just letting you know, this is a lot of money and there's other alternatives out there that you're going to be able to play your games on that gets the job done. And again, there is the lower variant of this that I did have hands on at Gamescom. It played games just fine, but I don't have the final version, so I can't comment on its performance, even though it is $400 cheaper. So keep that in mind as well. This is a lot. They are touting this as a premium device for a reason, because it costs, it's a premium cost, but this is premium hardware for sure. The software, like I said, is about 90% there. There's still some tweaks that they need to do. overall, I really like it. And again, I do want to thank Asus. I want to thank Xbox for providing this review unit to me. But that's been my 2 weeks with it. And I've talked a lot.
So, hey, I just letting you let you cook. So, let you cook.
So what do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting. Very, very interesting. And actually, shout out to Asus. I know I've been talking to them to see if we could have someone in here in the future. I would love to sit down and have a conversation, interview with them. So about this product, it's always been I've always been very curious about it. You know, I know we got some hands on at a Xbox Game Showcase this past summer. You had more because I think you got to play other games at Gamescom too, right? So
yeah.
So my first question I want to ask you, Wayne, while using the device, does it feel like this is an Xbox product, this is the Asus product, or this is like some Windows? Like, what is it when you have it? What's the first thing, like, does it feel like an Xbox thing or more of an Asus thing?
It feels more like an Asus thing. This is a Windows handheld. And I've been pretty consistent on that, you know, just throughout the summer, that I get it. This is an Xbox. It has the Xbox button on it, which makes it very convenient. Like I said, from a navigation standpoint, it is very handy and clutch to have this thing on here. Don't get me wrong. But is it an Xbox? No, it's a Windows device. It is a Windows 11 device that is very capable of doing Xbox things. I think that's the best way to put it. The Xbox app is there. It is presented to you at startup, which is great. Your PC Xbox library is available to you. You can also, which is pretty cool, if you go into the app and you go into like games that you've been playing, it will show you the last place that you played it. So it'll say it was on the PC, it was on the console. It will give you the option for games that are cloud enabled to directly launch it from here and cloud stream these games. So that is great too. Don't get me wrong. So like even the ones you own, like I was able to cloud stream The Witcher 3 directly off of here because it showed up in the library and boom, I'm in cloud streaming The Witcher 3. All that is great. So, you know, like I said, they had tweaked their messaging at Gamescom to talk about you have access to your Xbox library, either natively for the PC games and the ones that are not, and the ones that are, you know, console specific or whatever that are not available on PC, you can cloud stream them from here. The ones that you own and the ones that are available on Game Pass. So that's great. But is it an Xbox? I'm going to say no. Now with that said, because look, I know people will have a feel.
People are going to grab that clip and post it.
They will love that. They will absolutely love that I'm saying that.
Yeah.
But the reason I'm saying that is that is what an Xbox used to be. This thing, this is the alpha for the next generation of Xbox. I'm telling you right now, this is what the next generation of Xbox is going to be. It is going to be Windows based and it is going to have a similar UI experience to this. This is now their time to curate and get it right before the next gen hardware comes out. But if you think for 1 second, this isn't a sneak peek at where they're headed, you're fooling yourself. And honestly, I like it. I like having multiple digital stores available to me. I like having those libraries integrated into my Xbox app experience. And that's what this is, ultimately. That's why I said before, they still got to figure out, in my opinion, Windows updates. I mean, your standard desktop Windows updates that normally happen on your workstation, happening on this device, how they're initiated, when do they happen? Would it be automatic? Are you going to be forced to go to the desktop or settings to do it? How are they going to simplify that and make it very ease of use? Because again, on the console, you don't have to do none of that. Console, it just pops up, oh, it needs update. Yeah. It just does it and you're done. They need to get to that level with this, right? So we'll see on that. But this will play all your PC games. And I think that's the most important thing. And look, I was trying not to be snarky or whatever. I purposely was not like, oh, let me fire up Spider-Man or something like that. Play Spider-Man 2 on this. I played Horizon Forbidden West on this. So PlayStation PC games play on this just fine.
So right? This is a PlayStation.
See, I didn't say that. Yeah, there you go. I knew you was going to do that. That's why I was trying to not do that. But but again, your Steam library, anything you got in Steam or Epic or whatever, it plays it all just fine. Again, from a performance standpoint, no issues. None. Plays it just fine. And that's why when they do get those handheld badges ready to go for the game so that you know what is handheld compatible on this, or what was the thing? It was like the ones that are handheld compatible. And then, yeah, I'm actually looking at it right now because it's their handheld compatibility program, and they'll have a handheld optimized badge, and then they'll have a mostly compatible badge. So mostly compatible means it'll work, but you're gonna have to tweak a few things, you know, to get it perfect. Right. Mm-hmm. So those are coming. That again, that was not there during my experience pre-release. Some of that might be there day one at launch. We'll obviously have to wait to see what they go. But that's why I was saying before, the Windows experience is still a work in progress. But going all the way back to your question, is this an Xbox? Is this like the Series X that I got sitting under my television? No.
Okay.
This is like the workstation, the desktop, the gaming PC that I have right here. It functions pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
All right. Another question is, I know the analog sticks, it has that color, the light on the side is like purple and you can change the colors.
Yeah. Stuff. Well, I was just talking about. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's similar to PlayStation controllers where, and I believe this was happened during the PlayStation 4 days, that drained the battery of the controllers.
Yes, that will drain the battery as well.
Now, yes. So this drains the battery a lot. Do you feel like you need to have that on? Do you turn it off?
Turn it off.
So
you can turn it completely off. If you, again, this is up to an individual. You probably hear me booting into it now. I'm going to an armory crate right now. So I'm going to go to lighting here. I'm just, for people that are looking, bring that up if you could see it. I'm going to lighting, going here, and you have the options of essentially static breathing, strobing, color cycle, rainbow, aura sync, or you can essentially just go in here and just turn it completely off.
So it's, you can also dim the lights too.
Yes, and you can adjust the brightness on these, etc. And you can say if you want it to start at launch and not, like, you have options in here. So
okay.
Yeah. Good. So again, there's a lot of flexibility in what you want it to be, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's good.
Now, another question. I'm going to ask you some random ones, but this one is, I'm curious about. How is it playing with the lights off?
Really good. Really good. I actually prefer to play it in the dark, honestly.
Oh, nice. Because sometimes that brightness might bother you after a while. So that's why I was asking.
And, like, you can adjust that. Like, if you think it's too bright, you can lower the brightness. And you're able to do that from the settings. Like, I'm actually going here now and pulling that up. Going to more settings, and you can go. I'm just showing you now. This is like just from the shortcut menu. You can go into personalization, display brightness, all that. You can change all that here. You can do that from Armory Crate as well. Change the brightness. So it's pretty easy, pretty simple.
Now, have you...
Like right there, for people that are looking, that's an Armory Crate. You see right there, there's a brightness settings. There's the audio settings. You can adjust easy. And that was just a one-click Armory Crate. Boom, I'm right there on the shortcut.
Now, my question is, have you tested out to put it on the screen? Because I know there is ways to do it. I know you.
There's not an official accessory. For this, I wanted the handheld experience. I'm like, look, there'll be plenty of time to do all that, talk about that stuff. But I wanted just the pure handheld experience for it.
Okay, cool. That's fair. Now, have you tried out online games? How does it feel? Laggy? Does it feel like good? You know, pretty good or anything like that? Does it bring a mic in within the device that you could use without using
a
headset?
Yes. There is a mic functionality on this. And I may or may not have tried out Battlefield 6 and Halo Infinite on this. And worked fine. It was fine. Like, I will say again, the biggest selling point of this, believe it or not, is how ergonomic these handles are. Remember when it first leaked and we're like, oh, that looks weird.
Honestly, no, but it feels good. It felt good.
This is the way to go.
Yeah.
This is the way to go because this is what I'm telling you. It's great to play it in the dark because I don't have to, I just pick it up and I just play. I don't have to fumble around with anything. Once you're actually in the game playing, it feels very natural to hold. Like I said, first person shooters, multiplayer, all that was fine. No issues.
Another question, because I know this is the Xbox experience. Mm-hmm. Have you done Xbox Live Party Chat?
I have not. Did not do that.
Yeah, because I was wondering, is that also part of the app?
I did Discord. So I was in Discord talking, but I never did it through the app. So I did not try that.
Okay. That was a good question, though. Let me see another one. How is the, because usually when I download a game through the Steam Deck, it could take a while using Wi-Fi, just like that, without having any kind of. How was it downloading a game, especially those bigger games, on the device? It took a long, long time.
So here's something I had to tweak. Out the box, the way the power settings were set up, when I didn't touch it for a while, it would go into sleep mode. It would stop the download.
Oh,
so I had to go in and tell it to not go to sleep. And I just extended out to like 4 hours or something like that. Like you could turn the screen off, but don't go to sleep as far as the actual functionality happening in the background. So when I tweaked that, because I noticed, I'm like, damn, this game, why is this game downloading? What's going on? It was because it was going to sleep and then would restart. Mm-hmm. But once I did that, I mean, downloads went pretty normal. I mean, I didn't notice anything extreme or any of that. I would say, and it was funny, I even was talking to the Xbox engineer even before I installed anything when I was at the secret location to pick it up. Forza Horizon 5, I noticed at Gamescom, it was taking a long ass time to load. And he even mentioned that was also something they're working on with the loading, the advanced shaders and all that. That's something they're going to fix. So installing Forza Horizon 5 since, it's still taking a long time to not download, but to load. I noticed Starfield also took a long ass time to load, but I noticed it's because it's downloading the shader stuff, which they're going to fix that again. Could be at day one or shortly after day one of launch, but that is something that they're aware of and they're working on.
Oh yeah. I was going to bring it up because I know there's some games when you launch, it'll say shaders.
Yes.
There might
be another game we're playing. Yeah. We ain't talking about yet. That does the exact but same
that,
thing.
But that's something where, it's lots of games are like that, you know. I believe Cyberpunk, Call of Duty will do that in the background.
No, Cyberpunk. No. But you know what? While we are talking, I'm literally going to launch Cyberpunk right now.
That's good. See, look, we're going deep dive in this.
So I don't know if you can see it here. Yeah. It's, the focus isn't coming in.
No, it's not coming in. I mean, you already. Here's the thing, though, Paris. You already launched the game because sometimes it will save that I already did that. You know what I'm saying?
But no. But I'm just saying, I have on video the first time I launched it on here. And it,
oh, you did?
It was fine. Yeah, okay.
That's good to know. Call of Duty. How's Call of Duty?
I didn't try Call of Duty.
Okay. All right. Let me see if there's any other questions when it comes to that. Oh, this is a curious. I know this is the handheld experience that you wanted to do. I see. Mm-hmm. Have you tested out just to be curious to connect mouse and keyboard in there? Just because you
want to. I did not. Again, I just did the handheld experience. You can totally do it because it has two USB-C ports right up here on the top. You just plug them in. You can use the mouse and keyboard if you want. But again, this was the thing that Xbox worked on. Every functionality you need works with the joysticks and the D-pad and the face buttons.
All right. So now
you can do everything.
Now when I play some handheld device, after a while, my hand's like, oh man, it's heavy. Does it feel okay? You can turn it off. That thing is loud as
the thing. Oh, I didn't talk about that. Yo, the speakers on here really freaking good.
Oh, yeah. I remember testing that out at a Xbox Game Showcase while playing Gears of War. That's good. All right.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
See, and I'm in. There's Johnny Silverhand. Like I said, it launches pretty quick.
He disappeared in the back.
Yeah.
It's all good. Now, wait. So after a while, your hands could be, oh man, this is. I got to take a break. does it feel like similar to other devices, like it's too heavy after a while, or you were good with it?
And it is heavy, but it was funny. I guess I won't out this person because maybe they don't want to know. But a certain person we both know, she had made that comment when we were picking it up. It was like, wait, it's actually heavy. But when you're holding it this way, you know, with the grips, it evenly distributes the weight. So it doesn't feel as heavy in your hands as it actually is, if that makes sense.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah. So holding this thing for a long time is fine.
Yeah. Because I haven't had a chance to actually play, because I think I only had two hands-on experience with this, right? One, we were at a demo room. We were only allowed to show the handheld, pick it up, but then put it down. I wasn't playing a game. Then the second time, I was playing Gears of War, but it was already part of a demo connected. I couldn't really take it out and, you know, keep it to myself for a while. So that's good to know. That's really good. Because I was a little bit worried. I'm like, man, is it too heavy? You know?
No, I don't think so at all. And obviously, people looking on a camera, this is the back of it as well.
Now,
and, I mean, Spider-Man 2. Oh, and if you look at the top here, that's the performance monitor. There's three different modes you can set it to, but this one is showing the FPS, it's showing the CPU percentage, all that stuff right on here. So
you set it up like that. It's not like it just popped up. You set it up like that, right?
You enable it in Armory Crate to set it up.
Yeah, there you go. But he did that for testing, just to see how it is. It's not.
Yeah. You can turn this off. It doesn't have to be on at all. Okay. But I wanted to see what the frames per second was. Which, again, in Armory Crate, you can set an FPS limiter. So if you want to limit everything to 30, 60, 90, 120, or just turn it off completely, you can do that too. Because this is 120 hertz screen. So technically, you can get up to 120 frames per second, depending on the game. Like, obviously, Bellatro was 120, no problem. But it can't do that. So yeah, there's Spider-Man too. Cool. Yeah,
now, another question is, how's the D-pad in there?
Love it. Again, just like the Xbox one. It's no problem.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Now, another question too is, trigger, the LR and also the buttons at the top, how is that compared to the controllers?
Again, I'm telling you now, and people will get their hands on and see for themselves, this feels damn close to an Xbox controller, functionality wise, button wise, triggers, the LB and RB buttons, all that. It's very intuitive. You won't even think. You'll just jump in and just start playing games. You know, I think about it.
One thing that bothers me a lot when I play the Steam Deck, it gets really hot.
Oh,
please tell me about this one.
Woo! Let me tell you something. Again, the high AAA games, again, the Starfields, the Cyberpunks of the world, there's these fans up top right here. You feel that heat coming out.
But it's not loud fan.
It's not loud, but it can get warm for sure.
So when you're holding it, you could feel the heat on the side?
Not well, if you're holding it normally, and I'm trying to do this word on camera, you just hold it like this, just doing your thing. No, but right here. Those are the fans right there. So if you put your fingers there, you will feel, that's not going to burn you or anything, but you will feel the heat come out.
It's not like you could fry an egg.
No.
The backside, is that the fan also comes out through there? Because I noticed there's like holes in the back. I don't know if that's the design.
No, it's right up top. These up top here.
So what is in the back part?
I know this camera's not focusing in great, but up top.
What about the back part? What is it that is the backside of the handheld? What is that? Is that part of the fan? I see holes.
No.
Or is that such a design?
I wonder if the fans are definitely blowing out of here, but I guess this is like intake out to exhaust, technically.
Okay, yeah, seriously.
But you feel the fans themselves are blowing out of the top up here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know sound is amazing.
Oh, and this comes with 3 months of Game Pass Premium.
There you go. Hey, if you're in the struggle bus for $30 a month.
Hey, look at these prices. Take whatever you can get.
Take whatever you can. Yo, 3 months? That's not bad. Yeah. That's not bad for 3 months.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else, because I'm trying to ask questions that I know people are going to bring up, you know, that is different, you know. I know you showed this power to your son for him to try it out. How was his reaction trying out? Because he had never experienced this before. This is like his first time actually using it. How was it for him? Did he feel like this is too big, heavy? I like this, comfortable?
No, I thought it was fine. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was fine. And this is where I'm saying again, I feel like I'm being a little nitpicky, but I think it's important to be nitpicky.
Yeah.
You, out of the box, can press this power button and it will launch you right into that Xbox experience. The games that you already that you see there, you can navigate to them, press the A button, it will launch them, and they play. And that's what he did. So for him, it was just fine. I think where they still got the work to do is when you start integrating in the other third-party digital stores, navigating through that, how they pop up, how they launch, how you exit those games. I think that's important too, because sometimes they don't necessarily exit correctly. Then you got to go in and, you know, manually close them and restart potentially, stuff like that. Those are the little tinker things that they still got to figure out to perfect. I think if you only use the Xbox app for games that are installed on the Xbox app, I think it's 95% just fine. There's really not an issue there. It is only when you start to navigate to other apps that you start to see some of the quirks that is Windows that tend to pop up that they still got to curate and fix.
So when you say other apps, you mean like Steam, Epic Games?
Like I said right now, Discord. Okay, so let me show you this. I hope Discord, this I know, yeah, focuses Discord in. So remember, right there, Discord should be showing up and it's not. I have to go to the desktop to get to Discord because like you see GeForce now there, you see the other digital stores I have installed there. That's an easy shortcut. I press the Xbox app once. You press that button one time and that pops up and you can navigate to it, right? So I want to use Discord. I got to literally go to the desktop and launch it to get it going. Make sure, you know, I'm in the room I want to be in. I'm talking to people. Then I can go back to the Xbox app, launch the game I want and go play it. They got to figure something like that out. Any other third party things they want to be integrated into the gaming experience. It needs to be a part of the shortcut, in my opinion. You should never have to go to the desktop unless you want to go to the desktop. You shouldn't be forced to go to the desktop. And that's where I say, again, Steam has the advantage still because I'm never forced to go to the desktop.
Now, there's certain games where a browser will pop up for you to like agree, whatever, like, right? Because the browser launches through this without going to the desktop, can you launch a web browser without going towards the actual Windows part of the system?
Or that's a good question.
Or do you have to wait until Xbox updates their app where they'll have web browser? They'll have I don't know, like Netflix and certain apps that is non gaming related, but like, you know, like let's say Spotify. Like yeah. I want to use.
So I want to show you, like right here, I want to go. Well, I'm doing it backwards. You can't see what I'm doing. Okay. Hey, hold on. See, now that's to launch the desktop. So let me just hit the button real quick. Mm-hmm. Now I'm on the desktop.
So it's easy to launch.
I'm sorry for people watching the camera, it's not focusing correctly, yeah. But. Now I'm on the desktop, so if I want to launch, like I have the Edge browser on here, I could launch the Edge browser, but that is not a part of the shortcut from the Xbox button to get to Edge. I don't know if that's something they necessarily want to be a part of, because again, when I launch Cyberpunk, it does a thing where it has a pop-up thing. Mm-hmm. I'm able to navigate that just fine. It closes on its own, and I'm in playing the game. So I don't think you have to have the browser as a shortcut experience. Because you don't necessarily, because it'll pop up as needed and you're able to navigate on it and close it and go away.
That's good to know. Good to know.
Yeah.
Do you see Xbox adding other multimedia apps there that is not gaming? You know, people maybe into travel, they want to watch a movie or listen to music and stuff like that.
So I think before I answer that, if this is showing up on the screen. So this is me wanting to close the desktop now. So it gives those options. I can just keep it running in the background, or is asking me to just completely restart. So I'm going to just say restart because it'll give me those resources back because it'll essentially close the desktop completely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so can you answer the question?
I forgot now because I started talking.
The multimedia. Do you think Xbox will add that part of the Xbox app experience? Do you think that will happen? Or will we have
I think they potentially could, but not until you're able to successfully navigate to those multimedia experiences directly in the app. Like, again, I press that Xbox button. It brings it up in the shortcut. I see it there. Launch it, play it, close it. Boom, I'm back in the Xbox experience.
Now, this is an issue that I've been having with multiple handhelds from the PC side, right? And I think also Steam Deck has an issue too. Sometimes when I launch a game, I have to go and select the resolution. Like, I have to, like, every single time. And once I figure it out, okay, I'm good. Do you have to do that with every single game, or automatically will go by default? Do you have to go back and just, like, change it and until you find, like, the perfect setting for that game that you're going to be playing there? Because remember, it's a PC handheld, you know?
Yeah, it's a PC handheld. So what I noticed was, if I go into that game settings and set whatever I want it to be, it will stay that. There's obviously a default setting it will launch with. But if you then go in and go, oh, I only want it to be 720p. I want it to use the Steam Deck preset and not the ray tracing preset. You can go in there and change that. It will keep those settings the next time you launch the game.
Do you feel like you have to do it with every single game, or was it just certain games you did that?
No, I honestly did it with Cyberpunk. I didn't have to do it with Cyberpunk. I just did because I wanted to test it out. But I've noticed every game I've launched seems to have launched in a pretty reasonable state. I never felt like I had to go in and tinker with it or do anything.
Oh, this is a good one. When you're outside playing and it's very sunny, how's that experience? Because when I play, let's say, this in the Switch, sometimes I can't see anything from the screen. Have you tried that out?
I was instructed to not take this out in public, so I never did that.
Oh, I'm kidding. Your backyard. Yeah, that was good. That was pretty good.
But no, I did go outside. I mean, it's an IPS screen, so there is some glare. So if you're in direct sunlight or whatever, you're going to see that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what else to ask you. I've been asking you some really random ones, but I think that's good enough.
Well, I mean, hell, we've been talking now, a good 45 minutes or so about
49.
Yeah. But it's like I said before, I like it. It's a great piece of tech. It's a great piece of hardware. The software will continue to get better over time. I think it's in a good enough state to launch with. You're going to be able to access your games. You're going to be able to play them. They're going to run great. There's no issues there. I will remind again, the price will be an issue for some people. Just is. It's $1,000. It's not cheap. So I think it's very reasonable to point that out because it is not going to be for everyone. I did not get extended hands-on with the Xbox Ally, the $599 version, so I can't tell you about performance on that across various games, but it is cheaper. So please keep that in mind as well. I think the ergonomics of this are fantastic. They're really, really good. Like I said, that Xbox button comes in very handy as far as navigating through the Xbox experience. No problems there. I will say again, I have a hard time recommending this to someone that already has a handheld that they're happy with. I'll put it that way. If you're happy with the handheld you currently have, it's going to be hard for me to tell you to go around and spend $1,000 and go get this one, you know? But to each their own as far as that goes. I'm actually very curious because I've purposely siloed myself. I don't know what nobody else thinks that I know has one. I don't know what they think because I didn't want to know. I wanted my own curated experience on this and what I thought about it. So it will be interesting to see what other people have out there. And I'll say again, because we've never been the super tech guys like, you know, Kerry the Fox, ETA Prime. They don't have them videos where they locking all in Dave 2D and all that fan stuff. I'm like, I'm not trying all that because I ain't as talented as them. I'm talented at running my mouth. So that's what I did. I was like, I'm going to run my mouth. I'm going to tell you what I think about it. Just kind of shoot it at you from a gamer's perspective, right? Versus trying to get super analytical, you know, as from the tech specs and all that. Look, we know what the specs are for it. I listed them already. Mm-hmm. It plays the games great. I think that's the most important thing. I never felt frustrated playing a game on this. The gaming experience is really good on this. The battery, not great.
Depends what you play.
And it's an 80 watt battery. For those of you know, if you're playing at the turbo mode, 25 watts plus, a game like Cyberpunk, a game like Starfield, a game like Halo Infinite, it's gonna suck the battery. I'm just letting you know now. your more double A Silk Song, fine. Cocoon was fine. Bellatro was fine. Those type of blueprints, fine. Those games will be fine. Forza Horizon 5, not so much. Okay. I'm just letting you know. Spider-Man 2, not so much. Horizon Forbidden West, not so much. Because if you want to play it at 1080p, you want to play it at 60 frames per second, you're going to need the highest, you know, preset performance mode, which is turbo, to do that. And it will suck up the battery. Like you mentioned, the lighting, you can turn that off. That'll help. Stuff like that. So just be aware of that, too. But honestly, this is nothing new. Other Windows handhelds have the same exact issue. So this, in fact, it's the same 80 watt battery, I believe, that's in the current Ally X. So it's not different in that way. Mm-hmm. So just even though it's using the Z2 Extreme processor, which might be more efficient, I still found the battery to not. Let's put it this way. If I was flying to Gamescom with this thing from L.A., I would have had to have charged it almost twice. I might have got away with just charging it. No, I'm definitely. No, if I'd have to charge this at least twice while I was on the plane to be able to play it the entire time. So think of it that way.
I forgot to ask this question. How's the case for this?
I don't have one.
Oh, so it didn't bring no case?
No, they didn't give me no case.
So look, you have to do third party. I'm sure they gave me. A little bag.
They gave me that. I got that. It's a piece of plastic that comes in the box. Hey. So it's like a stand.
Yeah.
That's what you get. So what comes in there is that, like I said, power plug instructions. That was it. Again, if you're watching the video I put out, you'll see the unboxing I do at the very beginning on what's in the box.
Yeah. How's the packaging in that? It was cool. Packaging?
Good. You'll see in the unboxing. I was like, God damn, this plastic won't come off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. Oh, that's funny, man. Now, yeah. Paris, man, thanks a lot for having this conversation. You know, I was asking lots of questions, you know, from the outside. Because there's probably people want to know, like, oh, there's some people that probably bought it. They're pre-ordered. They don't know that that doesn't bring a case. Now they have to go out because the screen. It's not cheap. You also have to be really careful to protect your screen. You don't want it to get scratched, so you mm-hmm. have to get a case. Like for my Swiss 2, I bought a third party case. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna wait. I want to protect my screen. You know, do you feel like your thumbprints will pop up a lot on that screen, or it was like
you'll see some thumbprints? I definitely try to wipe it down after playing. And when again, touchscreen enabled, all that, you can navigate using touchscreen stuff too. So keep that in mind too, because I've noticed a few times where I run into some weird quirks where something didn't close right or whatever. Yeah. If I do it on the touchscreen, it'll do whatever it is I was trying to do. So.
Okay, cool. Oh, keyboard on the screen.
Yeah, it's fine.
Fine.
Yeah. Okay. Pops up. You can type, do everything you need. No problem.
Awesome. Yeah, that's about it. Anything else, Paris? I think we're going
to
wrap that up.
No, I will say again to Xbox and Asus for giving me an opportunity. I feel like it's been the summer of this handheld because I got what? At Summer Game Fest, then at Gamescom Extended, and then now to get now 2 weeks. 2 weeks of extended time with it right before launch. It's been great. And, you know, obviously it's been a pretty hot button topic for various reasons. So it to finally now be out and people can get hands on with it and judge for themselves. Like I said, I feel like this is the first of many conversations about this handheld. This will definitely not be the last one because there's going to be a lot of things that other reviewers are going to discover that I might not have even talked about. More things I'll discover as updates come out. We'll be talking about this thing a lot over the next few weeks and months, I think, as, like I said, they continue to update that Windows experience and, you know, just try and make it better.
Do you have the first Asus, right? The first handheld?
Yeah, literally right here.
How different is that compared to the other one?
It's so funny me holding this right now. Not having those grips is freaking weird. I will say that.
Okay, so you got
it's
used
weird
to that.
Not having it. But as an example, it is the same exact 1080p IPS screen on this. It's a Z1 Extreme processor on this. This one, the battery is not that great either. Mm-hmm. But it is way more comfortable holding the Xbox Ally X than it is the original Asus Ally, for sure.
Did the white version also have that design, same design as the X?
What do you mean? be clear on this. Which one do you mean?
The new Xbox Ally, not the X, not the black one.
Right.
The cheaper version.
Right.
Is it the same? It has a grip suit, same design, same weight, everything.
Yeah, same thing. Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I have to bring that up because people.
The difference is it does not have the AI chip in it.
Okay.
I believe it is also a Z2. Again, I didn't have the final one, but I believe it's also a Z2. It's not the Z2 Extreme. I think it's just the Z2. And I'm talking on my tuchus right now. Actually, let's clarify this because I have the reviewer's guide right in front of me.
Okay. Because you test it out at Gamescom, the white
one. Yeah. So, okay. I'm literally having it in front of me now. The ROG Xbox Ally, the white one, it has a Z2A processor in it, 16 gigs of LPDDR5 6400 RAM, and it has a 512 gigabyte M2 SSD drive in it. And it doesn't have the haptics. I don't think it does the haptics triggers on the white one that it does on the Ally X. Another example. Okay. And like I said, it is more, that processor is more for 720p gaming than it is 1080p gaming. So, like I said, I did play Forza Horizon 5 on it at 720p. It was fine. That was at Gamescom in a limited experience. But matter of fact, I know a couple of people that are reviewing it. So look for their reviews. Hey, look, it's all out now. Austin Evans, go see Austin Evans' review. You watch his. I know he got it.
It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
All right. All right, man, Paris. But thanks for the conversation, man. Hopefully we could talk more.
No, absolutely. Appreciate you hopping on. And like I said, I'd rather just have a conversation with someone about it versus just me yapping at the screen, even though I did that for half the time anyways. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we'll continue to talk about this thing. People try to give me shit during Summer Game Fest when we first saw it. And I go, wow, this could be the future of Windows handhelds, right? I still believe that. And the reason I believe that is this is Microsoft Xbox now being committed to curating the handheld experience for Windows, making it more user friendly. Is it 100% there today? No, it's mostly there, but they still got work to do. And I'm excited to see what they're going to be able to do.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we'll keep you posted if any other opportunity pops up. Maybe we could get someone from Asus here.
Absolutely.
On the show. That would be really cool. All right, everyone. Until next time, we're out. Take care. Bye.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.